From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com, you're listening to Figure Four Daily with your host, Brian Alvarez.
What's going on, everybody? We're here on Figure Four Daily. It is February 6, 2014 here at figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Capital T himself. Todd Martin's here on the air. And Todd, what's up?
Not much.
Not much, huh?
Correct.
What's on your mind today, Todd?
Usually I would say, how's it going? We already exchanged those pleasantries before we went on the air, so.
Yeah, but nobody knows that. You got to exchange those pleasantries on the air as well. Otherwise, people think we're feuding.
Well, we are. That's a separate issue.
Actually,
let me start off with a quick correction from last week. We're talking about the identity title and the world title. And essentially, your point was that one has clearly been positioned above the others. And I said, no, they've more often than not tried to build one bit better than the other. And I gave a time frame of 5 years because I was sort of thinking in my head that it had been only a few years since they had made one title bigger than the other. But in fact, when you back on title histories, it was closer to 4 years since they tried to establish the title as basically meaning a similar level. So I was off on that. I don't think there's a colorable argument for the majority of the last 5 years.
I don't think there's a tolerable argument for anything you said last week, Todd.
What a mean statement.
Yeah. Now listen, yes, it was farther back. But you have to remember that there was a period where they switched the importance of each title. So for a while, the world belt, the Ric Flair belt, was the main company belt. And then they ended up switching it back to the WWE title being the main company belt. But during the entire period, there was always one belt that was more important than the other belt.
Well, you said sort of clearly position is strong. And I think in general, there was usually one that the fans perceived as somewhat stronger. My point, which I stand by, was that during most of that time period, they were trying to build them as equal belts, even if it's very difficult to create equal belts in a sphere like pro wrestling.
Just digging and digging, aren't you? Just digging and digging. There's always been one main belt and one kind of geek belt. That hasn't changed. Hasn't changed, Todd. If you want to comment, everybody, you know what to do. Hashtag F4WLive. That is the hashtag on Twitter. I am at Brian Alvarez, and Todd is at ToddMartin4L. If you'd like to go up there and tell him that he's nuts, that is the place to do it.
Although, unfortunately, I can't read the comments during the show.
So. You can't read the comments? I'll read them to you. Don't worry.
You'll read some of them.
What do you mean?
Well, as I've mentioned before, you tend to be kind of selective in which ones you choose.
What are you talking about? I'll read every single solitary one that I find appropriate for the show.
That was a good qualifier at the end.
I heard that you went and talked to some famous people the last couple of days. Is that correct?
I guess.
What do you mean you guess? Lorenzo Fertitta is a famous person. So is John Jones.
Yeah, I mean, there was the... I'm surprised it hasn't gotten more coverage, but there is the press conference at the Capitol building on Tuesday that I went to. What's that?
I just coughed, but I turned my volume down. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Lorenzo and John Jones and Glover's chair were there representing the UFC, but they also had representatives of Top Rank and Golden Boy and Spike Viacom. Bellator and Glory.
Jones and Teixeira were there?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Luckily, they didn't get into a fight. That would have sort of undermined some of the...
Two guys about to pound the brains out of each other here at this thing together.
Yeah, doing it in the Senate building probably would have been a bad look. And then John McCain and Harry Reid that were there, too. Two very famous senators. Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, and McCain, of course, the presidential nominee for the Republicans in 2008. It was an interesting press conference. I mean, it wasn't, you know, particularly revelatory, but I mean, they were essentially announcing that all of the different forces were going to team up to try to get research done and to try to improve the research that's been done thus far by the Cleveland Clinic into the effect of brain injuries, or rather punishment in the context of combat sports. and the effects it has on the brain over time. And I think it's probably in part on the part of the organizations influenced by the ruling against the NFL, which, while it was about concussions, I mean, a big part of why they ended up being cost so much money was that they were specifically hiding and pushing evidence of the problems with concussions under the rug. And so I think these organizations want to try to be forthright, with the idea being that it'll make them less likely to be sued in the future. And I also thought it was interesting that the speakers there brought up repeatedly the idea that this can be used for general use, not just for combat sports themselves, but rather that combat sports is something where, you know, most competitors take, you know, shots to the brain over a period of time, if not brain damage, will be a good test for how those sorts of things can affect other people, whether it's, you know, youth soccer players or soldiers or, you know, anyone from any walk of life, you know, people discussing with you who, you know, have to bang their head into the wall.
Wow.
Frustration at times.
Wow.
So, I thought that it was interesting that John McCain at one point said that, it was sort of interesting. I mean, it sort of, I think, exposed that, you know, you did have allies of the sport out there because, you know, both Harry Reid and John McCain were longtime fans of boxing. McCain explicitly said that they wanted to do this because, if they didn't, support for the sports would wane over time. So it's sort of a self-preservation thing where you want to have the information out there, try to make it as safe as possible for the sport itself, not just as sort of a, you know, let's shut this down, it's a problematic thing, you know, whatever. And, you know, they talked about how the keys are to discover risk factors and also what are sort of the things that cause the first changes on sort of a bad path towards towards brain trauma down the time. And it'll be interesting to see if there are any changes over time, whether it's, you know, sort of the way that people approach training camps and the number of fights per year, or even, you know, rule changes like we saw, you know, years back with the knees to the head on the grounded opponent. And it was interesting that Spike was there, and they mentioned they were representing Bellator and Glory, but no mention of TNA, no mention of professional wrestling. It's sort of outside the scope of the study, which, you know, it's sort of a similar endeavor in a lot of ways, and it might even benefit more from this sort of study in the sense that pro wrestling, because of its controlled nature, is something that if you sort of find what causes concussions and what leads to more brain injuries over time period and what sorts of things end up leading to more problems down the road, that sort of thing could be used more in pro wrestling, I think, than in sports that are a shoot. So, yeah, those are some sort of thoughts from the press conference. And if you'd like to know more, there are the interviews up on the site that I did with Lorenzo and Dr. Charles Burnick of the Cleveland Clinic and John Jones talking all those subjects. I think it was some interesting discussion, so I'd encourage people to check it out.
That's right. It is up on the front page right now if you want to head up there and check that out. And on the topic of knees to a grounded opponent, I believe that Oksana should have been disqualified on Monday.
Well, those are rules from a different sport now. Don't be silly. I mean, those are legal blows in the context of pro wrestling.
Well, maybe that should be illegal in pro wrestling. That's dangerous.
Well, maybe they should, but, you know, until they do, you know, as Dave always says, you got to play by the rules that are there.
I was not a fan of that move. Now, before we get into wrestling, though, we got people get upset if we don't separate out the topic. So let's finish this MMA stuff here. I've mentioned on many shows, Todd, I'm not going to come here and cry on this show that we've played this betting game, and I've essentially been screwed twice.
This is like the preface to the Tito Ortiz interview where he says, I'm not going to make any excuses.
I'm not going to make any excuses, but so far this year, it's like I don't want to use the term karma because I've done nothing wrong, but something's coming to bite me on the ass here this year. I've had a bad ref call and a bad judge's call in the two that we've done so far in 2014. This just doesn't seem right.
Well, as I've mentioned before, these things tend to level out over time. So
no, right now it's at 100%, Todd. This is an aberration.
Well, I think you got lucky last year. So
I don't.
If I get a little lucky at the beginning of this year, I think it'll help to to shut up the beating that I'm going to give you as the year progresses.
Yeah, we'll
I mean, from your standpoint, honestly, I think if you were going to bring something up, I mean, if I were you, I would bring up the thing that I won on, which is the Chris Carriazza fight, that to me the other guy should have won. I thought you had a better case for that one. Whereas with Uriah Faber, I mean, to me, it's really sort of an overblown quote-unquote controversy. I mean, he got rocked three times in the space of a minute. And if you get, you know, repeatedly rocked in a fight, the referees are going to tend to give you the benefit of the doubt less. I mean, it is true that he was covering up, but it wasn't like he was, you know, doing anything. He was just, you know, sort of lying there in a really bad position, you know, holding his hands over his head. And if all you're doing is putting, you know, using everything you have to try to defend your head, I mean, you can sort of block it pretty well with your hands, but it's not, you know, it's not a position that, you know, is one that you're going to get the benefit of the doubt on from a lot of referees. So, I mean, I think if it wasn't Uriah Faber, it wasn't the main event, and there hadn't been a bad show, I don't think anyone would have been discussing it. I think it just would have, you know, passed on. I thought it was well within the realm of what you expect from ref stoppages, even if I'm sympathetic to, you know, Uriah wanting to continue for as long as he could have.
Well, it was a main event.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't.
You got to play by the rules, Todd, as you said.
That's the point, is that, you know, I think that the added discussion of it was just decided as main event as opposed to anything about that fight in particular. I mean, I've seen plenty of you know, dubious stoppages over the years, and I mean, people were calling it a bad stoppage. I didn't even know if I'd call it a bad stoppage. I thought it was within the realm of, you know, of what leads referees to stop fights. If you get tagged a number of times in a short period of time and you're huddled there on the ground, you know, face down, just covering your head and not doing a hell of a lot else, you know, the referee is going to step in and stop it the majority of the time.
Still disgusted. How much am I down by?
Not that much. I forget what it was, but
really, is it on the board?
What's that?
Is it up on the board?
Yeah, I've got it there.
In the same section?
Mm-hmm.
Now, my big question, Todd, is did you remove last year's evidence of me destroying you?
Of course not.
Okay, good job, Todd. I'm going to go up right now and find out how much I'm down by. What's the next big show?
Next weekend, the Lyoto Machida versus Gegard Mousasi fight.
I said big show.
Fight.
Dead silence.
What's that?
Let's see, Brian, what do you mean you're not ahead by much? You've got $169 and I've got $0.
Yeah, it's not that much over the course of a year.
Dang it! And look at that. Josh Thompson, Uriah Faber. Fucked in both cases. Can't even believe
this. Yeah, I don't
really
agree with that categorization. What can you do?
Can't even believe this. Ridiculous. Oh, well. Any other news in mixed martial arts, or can we move on?
That was a real downer of a show. I mean, I've seen shows that got more of a negative critical reception, but as far as just sort of my personal enjoyment of a show I tend to buy, I think that was actually the UFC show that I've attended that I enjoyed the least ever.
Oh, that's right. You did go.
What's that?
After you did go. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, even with, like, you know, the Tito Ortiz Ken Shamrock second fight that everyone complained about, that also had that Arlovsky Sylvia fight that was really bad at the end, that at least sort of had some, like, notable moments here and there. I mean, the Shamrock Ortiz scene was sort of crazy, and you had Eva Edwards getting all busted up against Joe Stevenson. You had some other fights that sort of stood out for one reason or another, but this show is just like a bunch of really boring decisions in the middle and just decisions up and down, and not a lot of consequence happened. It was just, I mean, it was I really disliked the show being there live.
What compelled you to go to this show live?
Because it was within, you know, 4 hours or so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll hit a UFC show within that distance.
About that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I have nothing else to talk about in terms of mixed martial arts. It was a slow week. Unless you've got a big breaking news story. I guess you could. Now, I don't think we got anything to talk about.
I feel like the brain press conference could end up being, you know, important as we look down the line. And the pay-per-view. So I don't think it was a terribly slow week, but, you know, not a lot of talking points to discuss coming out of this.
You really think this brain press conference itself could be important down the line?
Potentially. I mean, you had, you know, collaboration between all of the major boxing and MMA promotions. I mean, I don't remember them collaborating together on anything. And they're all contributing to this study. And if down the line the study produces, you know, results that send some sort of strong message that could potentially change the way the sports, you know, go down, I mean, it could potentially be very consequential. Yeah.
Because, I mean, you were there, Todd. You were there. And you were surrounded by all of this. And to everybody else here in the world, nobody is really talking about this outside of the usual suspects, so to speak. But I think that 99% of the people tuning in right now are unaware it even happened.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was undercovered by the boxing MMA press. There were very few boxing MMA reporters there. Just Ron Kruk and Luke Thomas were the only people I saw there. They had sort of the general press people. Some woman asks, I forget what it was, but just, you know, like one, there was a question about extreme fighting and whether it should be regulated. That was just sort of.
Yeah.
You know,
why didn't you interview that lady?
That was sort of the level of sort of discourse of a lot of the, and there weren't even that many reporters. There were just about as many participants at the press conference as reporters. So I think that's part of why there wasn't as much discussion. But just because there hasn't been that much discussion of it doesn't mean that it couldn't potentially end up being, being important down the line.
It's hard to expand into something if nobody's covering it.
Correct.
Now, I was completely unaware of this even taking place until you threw out a line during your plugs last week. And God knows when you plug something during your plugs. You know what I mean, Todd? So why was everyone...
Ears perk up. Everyone listens. The world becomes excited when I start plugging.
Oh, yeah. It does not appear that a lot of people were clued in that this was going to take place. Wouldn't you think that they would want as much press there as possible?
I think they probably went first to sort of the major media sources as opposed to specifically the MMA and boxing media.
I would think that would be important media to cover something involving mixed martial arts and boxing.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I mean, I only heard about it last week. And that was from seeing a mention by Luke on Twitter about it. So I emailed him to get the information about it. UFC then sent out a press release a couple of days later, but I mean, that was about it. I also think that there aren't a lot of MMA press located in Washington, D.C. That was part of why I started writing about MMA, was that I was living out in L.A. at the time. And, you know, that was where sort of the center of MMA press was at that point in time. So you'd get, you know, press conferences and, you know, workouts and media, various media events there on a relatively frequent basis. Whereas, you know, D.C. isn't really a place you expect a lot of that.
So this has not been announced publicly, but people are talking about it privately, that the WWE Network has rolled out for select employees. They are on the network. They're looking around. They're watching stuff. And the word so far is that it'll blow you away. Are you excited, Todd?
Well, I was excited before. I think it's going to be hard to blow me away because my expectations are quite high.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that some of these people also had very high expectations, and they're still blown away.
Yeah, well, I mean, who knows? Maybe there'll be, the computer screen will shoot out, you know, money at you, and, you know, things will, you know, pop up that you never expected, and there'll be just all sorts of fun. I who knows?
That's what will excite you is pop-ups?
I was trying to come up with something that would be particularly, particularly striking, but I didn't think of anything off the top of my head.
What are you going to search for?
Lost footage of Chris Benoit, The Final Days. That would be a very shocking and interesting addition to the WWE Network library.
Well, I don't think you're going to see that.
I don't think so either.
But there will be Benoit on the network. As well as, believe it or not, everybody, some of you may have heard this by now, Over the Edge 99 is going to be on the WWE Network. I'm blown away by this.
I could sort of see going either way. With the Eddie Guerrero thing, Chris Benoit thing, I always disliked the Chris Benoit stuff, of editing him off stuff, as much because it's WWE as anything, in the sense that they're always so controlling, and there's sort of the feeling that they're almost trying to tell you that they can just sort of write out bits of history, as opposed to just sort of showing you the history and letting you evaluate it on your own. I don't think it's in any way a glorification of Benoit, and I don't think that it's...
Well, like, you don't, but I think their concern is that many people will see it as a glorification of Benoit, even if that's not their intention at all.
I don't see. That's why I brought up that it's WWE. If it was someone else, I would tend to give them the benefit of the doubt on that, in the sense of, like, other organizations aren't as apt to sort of change their history. But WWE has such a history of trying to change the way that you perceive their events, whether it's editing out this, editing out... They edit all sorts of stuff to try to, you know, or tell a story in a certain way, because they think that if they control the history and tell the history that they want, the stuff they don't talk about will be ignored. And so for that reason, I tend to think with the Benoit stuff, it was just like, well, if it kind of doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Which to me is sort of a bad reason for doing it, as opposed to the sensitivity thing. Whereas the Owen Hart thing, that's why I brought up the Benoit thing at first. The Owen Hart thing to me, I don't think they're trying in any way, if they weren't airing the Owen Hart thing, to try to pretend that that didn't happen on their pay-per-view. I would think that if you didn't air that, that would entirely be, well, this is really a traumatic event. You know, there are a lot of people that were close to him. We don't want to have this thing airing out there, you know, or even popping up on their, you know, on their flicks to be reminded of this terrible day and being taken back to it. So I could sort of see, you know, not having it up there for that reason. But, I mean, with the flip side, you can say, hey, you know, they got everything up there. It's just another show. If you don't want to click on it, you don't have to click on it. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that either. So I would be fine either way on the Owen Hart thing.
I'm not fine with it. Why? I mean, I don't remember the pay-per-view virtually at all. It was a complete blur after the deal. But I don't remember it being like, it'd be one thing maybe if you had like an all-time classic pay-per-view and this happened in the middle of it. And you decide, we're going to edit that part out of the show, but we're going to at least put the rest up because it was a great wrestling show. You know, maybe, I still wouldn't put it up, but maybe you could make an argument in that case. But what it is it's a, if I recall.
Ryan, I'm sorry, just for a second. I feel like that would be worse, because at that point, you'd be saying, well, you know, we're sort of balancing the issue of the fact that Owen Hart is you know, was killed, but other people want to get fun out of the show otherwise, so let's put it up.
Well, isn't that the exact same as...
Without doing that, I think the argument is just, we've got all the pay-per-views up, here's a pay-per-view. It's not a fun pay-per-view, but if you want to watch it, we've got all the pay-per-views up, and here it is. I think that's a lot more sensitive to the subject than sort of the idea of, oh, well, we had other fun stuff on here, let's let people enjoy it.
How about be sensitive to the subject by not putting the goddamn thing on the network?
Well, again, I mean...
Are you really going to get thousands of wrestling fans that are going to call in and say... You're really going to have 1,000 wrestling fans calling WWE and going, hey, you said every pay-per-view, but I don't see Over the Edge 99. I want my money back.
Well, of course they're not going to do that, but that doesn't mean it wouldn't be a potential interest. It's like a 9/11 documentary. Like, people aren't going to enjoy a documentary on 9/11, but that doesn't mean it shouldn't necessarily exist out there for people that want to relive it and experience what happened.
This isn't a 9/11 documentary. It's a show. It's a recap of what it was all going down. You're going to have to watch everybody be happy.
People want to watch footage of what was happening on CNN when the towers went down.
That's a documentary. I mean, I'm talking going back and watching the footage as it happens.
I'm talking about like an airing of what happened on CNN when they're just covering the news and all of a sudden shit, this happens. And, you know, people might want to go back and watch what happened at the time to evaluate the you know, what happened at the time. I don't think anyone's going to watch Over the Edge, you know, thinking that it's going to be, they're somehow going to have like a fun show. It's going to be because they wanted to know more about what happened there and to experience, you know, that tragedy for their own knowledge. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
For their own knowledge. I think this is a terrible idea.
There are people that are now old, old enough to be watching WWE that weren't alive when that happened. And, you know, if I were in that boat, I think I would want to go back and watch it at some point just to experience what it was. Having been watching it when it happened, I don't have a desire to watch it again. But I think I would have that curiosity if I hadn't been there.
I think it's a terrible idea. I think it sucks. I think that you're going to have a lot of people that are going to be very critical of WWE again. The people that didn't watch it originally and are wondering, oh my God, you're telling me this guy fell and died and you kept the show going and you could see how miserable everybody is as they wrestle and how they don't want to be there and they just had to keep working the show.
That's worthy too. Like a worthy discussion of whether WWE should have stopped the show. And that doesn't help WWE at all. But, you know, for the purposes of understanding, you know, the history of the business, and being able to see this and win this for yourself and make your own evaluations about that, I think there's...
Yeah, that's what WWE's traditionally been all about.
Having that discussion.
That's historically what they've been all about. We're going to show you something and let you make your own mind up about it.
Well, they're not. That's why I'm saying it's good. It's good for them to acknowledge their history and let people judge it for themselves. I can't condemn them for being open about that history and not trying to manipulate people into thinking that things didn't happen.
I got a better idea. Why don't you not air this pay-per-view and instead make an Owen Hart documentary about his life and career?
It's not the Hart family documentary.
Owen Hart.
Sure talks about I'm pretty sure that touches on Owen.
Owen Hart DVD documentary.
For sure. There's nothing
I don't care about the rest of the Hart family. Just Owen.
Sure, do that too. I think that would be, you know, and that would be a completely different sphere. That would be a fun documentary. You could show... you know, the feud with Brett. You know, they own some of that Calgary footage. They could show some of the early stuff with Sting. You know, air some of the, you know, some of his later matches, you know, with Shawn Michaels or Davey Boy Smith. I think that would be, you know, a completely different thing, but something also worth pursuing. Just like you could, you know, make a feature film that has themes about 9/11, and you could also air, you know, a documentary about it or watch the original footage of it.
Todd, if you're ever doing this show, and in the middle of it, since you're in Washington, D.C., there's a drive-by and you just get mowed down. And you're dead. You want me to throw that in the archive for your friends family and your future generations to go back? And, man, I heard Todd got shot. Thank God that show's in the archive so I can listen to it as it happened. You want me to put it in there?
On it, I wouldn't have a problem either way. I mean, same thing with Owen Hart. I wouldn't have a problem if they took it off. I wouldn't have a problem if they put it off. If you had this thing, you said, here, this is the last show we did together, and you can hear us talking back and forth about wrestling, and all of a sudden they get shot in the end. I don't think hopefully people wouldn't tune in thinking this is going to be, a sort of a fun form of entertainment. But I think it's sort of a, you know, a recap of what happened. And so sort of people could listen to what happened at the end for themselves and, you know, make up their own mind about how to evaluate this whole thing.
It? How many ways to evaluate it are there?
Well, just sort of to put it in context.
Oh, yay, Todd got shot versus, oh, no, what a terrible situation.
It would be, let me make one caveat. I mean, in both the example you've given with me and the example you've given with Owen, the violence wasn't seen. You know, the Owen Hart thing, it wasn't shown on the pay-per-view. And in the instance you example here, you know, it would just go off at the end. I would evaluate it differently if it was, you know, a visual thing where the real, you know, emotional trauma of seeing someone get killed was there. But that wasn't what happened. And so I think that's sort of, that is distinguishing to me. And I perfectly respect if there are people out there that don't want to see it. I don't want to see it again myself. I don't think there's anything wrong with that he's putting it up there.
Kevin here says, this Todd guy is on crack. How do you respond to that allegation?
Well, I mean, without any more clarification, I can't really respond very well.
Clarification?
Well, it didn't explain any source of disagreement or what they disagree with.
What do you guys on Twitter think about Todd's argument here about Over the Edge? Tweet me at hashtag F4WLive, and I will read a bunch of them here on the air. I may even open up the phone lines after a while. Don't call yet, but I'll decide if we get a lot of good reactions to Todd's argument. Maybe
good
I'll
reactions.
It'll be the people versus Todd Martin.
About something I've conceivably said that I haven't.
The people versus Todd Martin. Wait, what did you just say, Todd? People arguing about something you never said?
Yeah.
Well, that would be your fault then, right?
No, it's not. I mean, if they want to take, you know, issue with something I said, that's fine. But, you know, imagining that I said something else and then saying I said something else, that's not fair.
Well, you don't know what anyone's going to say yet, Todd. Maybe they all are.
I agree. I'm saying if they did.
This
and the way you said it, with if you get particularly good response, it seems to imply you're looking for people, you know, shouting off about something that wasn't said.
I don't know if this guy, I don't know if this is a typo or not, but he referred to you as Odd Martin.
I would assume. Well, actually, I don't know. I don't see it in front of me.
Doctor Who Money says Todd is right, with absolutely no explanation of why you are right or wrong.
So you had a problem with that, but not with the guy saying I'm on crack with no explanation one way or another.
You know, it's funny. There was an argument about something. I can't remember what it was, but there were some people on the board telling me that I was an idiot. So I wrote a very... And I very rarely...
That doesn't sound like something people on the board would say.
I very rarely respond on the board because I'm above it, you know. But I wrote a very well-thought-out response to these allegations, which turned about 85% of the people around to realizing that, in fact, I wasn't completely crazy. And then there's just one guy that goes, Brian's wrong. And I was like, how about you attack one point that I made in order to say that I'm wrong, as opposed to just the knee-jerk reaction of Brian's wrong. It's like when you and I do a show and we start arguing in circles and we just keep going and going. And at the end of the day, we're both agreeing with each other, but we have a strong desire to play devil's advocate legitimately for our own argument. And so we both argue. We're both arguing the exact same point. And then a bunch of people go on the board and they choose sides. And it's like, you people are legitimate. You are legit idiots because you have decided that one or the other is right, not having listened close enough to realize we're both arguing the same point.
I don't think that's a particularly
happens
good
all the time
of most of the discussions we've had. Brian.
Happens all the time. All right, let's see here. I don't understand why anyone would even want to watch Over the Edge 1999. Over the Edge, not Over the Edge.
Again, I think the people that would want to watch this would be people that weren't around at the time and would want to get a sense for the way things went down. I would think that it wouldn't hold any real appeal for really anyone outside of that group.
Let's see. I totally agree with Todd's point of view. That's better than a WWE brainwash documentary. Who said they were going to have a brainwash documentary? Let people see and decide for themselves. Matthew here. He says, of course it should be seen. People should have the option to watch if they want to. So a libertarian there, that's immediately ixnayed from the voting.
Was that Kane?
Believe it or not, no.
Okay. What about Val Venus?
He's not on here either. This guy appreciates the option is there. This person has no problem, but it's not like most of the audience has no clue, and it does show WWE can trust us on the subject. And then, randomly, Todd's odds on Bellator with Rampage and King Mo topping 1 million viewers.
Oh, just for the TV fight? I feel like that's a decent shot, if they promote it right. Yeah, I think they could do that. I'll say
65%. 65%. All right. What else do we got here on the Twitter machine? This guy can't believe I'm going off. He hasn't heard that in a while. Obviously, there are people that want to watch it based on the number of YouTube views for that pay-per-view. So that makes it right? There's a lot of stuff on YouTube that shouldn't be viewed 25 million times. All right. Dolph Ziggler, Todd, you're what's so funny?
No, it's just such a topic of discussion this week.
It really is. Is it not?
I've heard you talk plenty about it. I don't have a strong opinion on him.
You don't have an opinion.
In wrestling is not sort of critiquing the way people work. That's just not really my my interest. So him going faster, him going slower, isn't really of interest to me. I will say this. I think that in any art form, Don't want to get too quack and wish on you here. But any art form, you want to have people have the freedom and the desire to do things that they want. I think that's a positive instinct. I don't think you want to beat that out of them. I think that any company that's creative benefits from having people that have opinions on the way that they should be doing things and that are strong-willed about that. Whether you're talking about musicians that wanted to release an album a certain way and the album's, you know, and the record label is saying, no, we need this, we need this, we need it to be more poppy, we need it to be, you know, more of a hook here. And, you know, artists will stand up and say, no, I want to produce the album I want, and then frequently produce the best stuff that resonates with people the best in the end. Same thing with movie making. You've got these producers, you know, that are financing the film, and directors will have to, you know, get up there and fight for the product that they want. And oftentimes, and sometimes you can have a self-indulgent one, right? You can have that lead to a bad, overlong film. We've seen that plenty of times too. But there are times when, you know, classic movies have been made because the directors stood up for the product as they wanted it to be and stood up for their role in that creative process. I can't get angry at Dolph Ziggler or anyone in that position for trying to stand up for doing things the way they want. Now, obviously, you want to be polite about it. You don't want to be unprofessional. You know, you don't want to be a constant pain in the ass such that they, you know, that they fire you or they de-push you or whatever. But I think that you would benefit from more wrestlers standing up for themselves. And I think given that you, over the years, have criticized wrestlers for taking the terrible scripts that they get, you know, like a John Cena, and not doing anything about it, whereas a guy like Steve Austin would stand up and say, I'm doing the better things. I think it's unfair to then turn around and criticize a guy like Dolph Ziggler for doing exactly that.
You're calling me a
hypocrite.
I know
what you're going to say. I know there's a difference between a guy that has the power to do that versus a guy who doesn't have the power to do that. But I think that you're more likely to get to a position of power if you stand up for yourself, you know, when you're on a lower level because of the way that they bury people and homogenize them and turn them into these unmarketable creatures. I think that Dolph Ziggler's instincts in general have made him a more interesting performer than most of the guys they have. And so I can't knock him for those instincts. Even if I were, you know, even if I were Vince, obviously I'd probably, or one of these other writers, I'd probably be annoyed by it because, like, why does this guy, you know, keep doing these things that I don't tell him? Well, you know, if you're not giving a guy good advice, you should expect rebellion.
An interesting character, Todd, who's buried 25 feet under and can never recover at this point.
Well, hey, he's still more entertaining than Miz, who's done exactly everything they wanted from the very beginning and still got buried.
Well, there's a large disparity.
That's like the checkmate with you. Just bring up the Miz.
There's a large disparity in talent between Miz and Dolph Ziggler. How high, listen, Todd, honest to God, not to be mean to the Miz. I know some people get very upset when I mean to the Miz. And I know that Miz has a Google alert for his name, and so he probably hears all of this stuff. But
you know what's cool, by the way, Brian, is when I went to your place, the dartboard in your kitchen with the Miz's face on it, I thought that was really unfair to the guy.
Actually, you know what's funny that you should mention that? During the, I think it was the Christmas show, somebody sent me an oil painting of Lightning Hopkins, which is not in the shape of a dartboard, but you could imagine that it's a dartboard. And do you know where that is hanging?
The right above the kitty litter box?
In my kitchen. Exactly as you have envisioned. Anyway, why would I have a dartboard in my kitchen? But the point of this is, so I don't want to pick on the Miz or anything.
That really wasn't a very good place to place a dartboard. if I could rewind time, I would definitely have said the garage.
Yeah, Whit's cooking dinner and I'm playing darts in the same room. Great idea.
What can you do?
Now, not to pick on the Miz, but this is an honest question to you, Todd. And by the way, Michael here says people are going to want to see the classic match between the Union and the Ministry at Over the Edge.
Ooh,
you're right, Todd. How far can you go with the fucking Miz?
Well, I mean, you can have a main event WrestleMania.
How far can you go with the fucking Miz?
I already answered that question.
No, you didn't. Yeah, I could have Santino main event WrestleMania if I wanted to. How far are you going to go with fucking Santino?
Well, Santino hasn't main event at WrestleMania.
The answer is, Todd, you can't go very far with The Miz. Because he's really not that great a worker. He's really not that great a promo. There's nothing about him that's great.
The Miz headlined one of the biggest WrestleManias of all time.
Except to irritate the hell out of people, there's nothing about him that's great. Maybe there's a lot of things about him that are good or decent. But not great.
This is a headline event that drew more money than Lucez ever drew. He's headlined a main event that drew money, more money than Antonio Inoki ever drew in a main event setting. He headlined an event that drew more money than El Santo ever drew. Who are you to say The Miz can't draw money, Brian Alvarez?
Do you know who I am, Todd?
I already answered the question.
So the point of this is, I think that it would be foolish for one to think that Dolph Ziggler does not potentially have a bigger upside than The Miz. He's got a better physique. He's arguably a better promo, depending on the week and what he's told to say. He's a better worker when he's not being an idiot. So for a guy like Ziggler, you know, I don't know. I think my argument is that, yes, Miz can do everything they ask, but there's still only so far that you can go with him. He's not Roman Reigns. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm arguing about here.
I don't either.
What do we argue about? That Miz is great? That's ridiculous.
That was not in fact the point. I was pointing out that you know, with Dolph Ziggler, he's at least very entertaining, even though he is, you know, sort of buried on the card. And your point was, well, you should, you know, you should suck up more and you may do better.
I didn't say you should suck up more. I should say you should just do what you're told.
Well, yeah, I mean, same basic issue. Do what you're told. And I brought up The Miz has done what he told, you know, what he's told every day. And he got to WrestleMania main event, and now he's,
yeah, and then
you know,
he dropped the ball.
Hey, that was a successful event. It wasn't their fault. They blew the follow through.
Todd, you're killing your own argument by being an idiot.
I'm just being facetious. What can you do?
I hope so. Now, CM Punk chance has been a topic of conversation this week. Do you think the Punker will be back?
Yes.
You think the Punker's going to be back by WrestleMania?
No.
Now we got a talking point. When's he going to be back?
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I don't know what's sort of going through his mind. I think a safe bet would be somewhere between the end of the summer and, you know, the summer after that. I think at that point, I think Punk really enjoys wrestling, and I think when he's away from it a little while, he'll sort of, you know, he'll build up his energy, and he'll be, you know, he'll become enthusiastic about getting back there into it. So I expect him back, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he did something like Batista and took a longer period off. I don't know about 4 years, but, you know, like, I could see him taking 2 or 3 years off and then coming back at that point. I definitely think he'll be back at some point, because everyone always is back at some point. But, you know, when the time frame is, I don't know. And obviously, you know, I'd like to see it, you know, sooner rather than later, because, you know, he is such, you know, I think he's the best talent of his generation. I'd love to see, since he doesn't need the money, why don't
the
come
best
back
talent
and
of his generation?
Yes. Best talent of his generation.
Wow.
And I'd love to see him. I mean, I don't know if he do this. But I'd love to see him do like an ROH or PWG show. That'd be awesome.
That was actually my next question. Do you see him doing these indie dates?
I don't know. I mean, I think the problem more than anything else would just be like, what would happen? Like, would it be like sworn by like a bunch of people trying to buy tickets that had never been to the show before? Like, what exactly would happen if CM Punk returned to Ring of Honor? I just feel like it would be sort of chaotic. I feel like you would almost, if I were in Punk's position there, I would ask to come back unannounced, because I don't need the money, and, you know, I'm just doing it for the fun. I'd say, hey, why don't I come back and do a show in, you know, in Chicago and work, you know, Colt Cabana.
He better be working cheap then.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. I mean, he doesn't need the money. I don't see CM Punk either way saying, you know, hey, I'm willing to come back to do an ROH match, but you got to pay me really, really well. Like,
Well, if he asks for $5,000, but his deal is, I also don't want you to advertise me, that ain't going to fly. Well, he better be working for $200 if he doesn't want him to advertise him.
I give him $5,000 to you know, just for the good of the promotion, because it could generate so much buzz. I mean, granted, obviously there's a limit to that. I wouldn't give him $250,000 to do that, but $5,000, yeah.
There's a big jump there. What about $15,000, Todd? You're telling me you'd pay Punk $15,000 to make an unadvertised appearance in front of 900 people?
Yep, still do that.
Completely out of your mind, Todd. This is why you don't run a wrestling company. You'd lose your ass.
I have a punk. You're not in fact CM Punk. Brian, I think you're missing the big picture.
I think
in general this is an issue for you, is that I think you tend to look too much towards the individual show. Like,
I look too much at making money versus losing my ass. You're right. That's true, Todd.
This individual show versus versus the medium to long term future. And you frequently, that sort of thing, I think, does lead to more safety than a promoter that's reckless, right?
You're right.
But you wouldn't have signed Mike Tyson to work with Steve Austin. You wouldn't have signed up Kevin Nash.
Whoa. Are you out of your mind?
Mike Tyson, the amount he made going in there, the pay him. Whether it was $3.5 million or $5 million to do a WrestleMania, that was the chances, based on looking at the buy rates of that time period, that was going to make money on that show was slim to none. Now, it did end up making some money, but it wasn't like even that WrestleMania itself justified the Mike Tyson salary that well. The benefit of that was that it raised the stock of Steve Austin going forward. It's the same thing with CM Punk thing. Like, yeah, you would lose money on that individual show if you paid him $15,000, but you would get the Ring of Honor name out there all over the place.
And then what would you do with that, Todd?
Having been this part of this big news in a way that they're never part of the media attention, and it would create speculation from fans in the future. Hey, maybe if I go to this show in the future, CM Punk might show up to that show too.
Where he wouldn't be.
Would be potentially showing up there in the future.
Where he wouldn't be, or where he would be.
Watch the show, would order the DVD, would watch it online, would become more interested in the ROH product than they ever were before.
Yeah, they do all that shit if you advertised him too.
I don't think $15,000 is a hard call at all, Brian.
You're completely out of your mind. So listen. So you bring him in unannounced and you absolutely lose your ass. Then what do? You start bringing him into shows?
We're talking $15,000, Brian. I said you wouldn't do it for $250,000. You do not. $15,000 is not exactly losing your ass if you're Sinclair Broadcasting.
They'd lose their ass. So you do this show,
Right. They for one of these shows, they'll draw, let's say in Chicago, they'll draw like 1,000 or 1,200 people, for a show at, an average ticket price of probably about $25 to $30, right? So you're talking about a show that's going to do in the neighborhood of $25,000 to $40,000. Yeah, you're not going to make profit there.
Do you know nothing of expenses,
Punk,
flights,
it's not like you're,
building,
it's not like you're losing
advertising
amount of money relative to what you're spending there?
Dude, you're going to lose your ass if you're paying a guy $15,000 to come into your show and you're not going to advertise him as being there.
The maximum you lose is $15,000, which is a negligible sum of money if you're a multi-million-dollar business, and it's the amount that they're probably paying. Some of their, guys that don't make a damn bit of difference over the course of 6 months on their roster.
Todd, if anybody from ROH is listening right now, they're rolling on the ground laughing uproariously at this idea.
I disagree.
Hold on.
I'm actually really curious about this. You should ask Hunter, not Triple H, Hunter Johnston. Ask Hunter.
I should ask Triple H.
If he could have CM Punk, but CM Punk wanted to be unadvertised for $15,000 on one of the shows, whether he'd do it. I think he'd do it.
I'll bet you anything he'd say no.
Well, I'm very curious now. I really am.
I try to ask him on the air, but no one understands a word he says. Now, Todd, what is your brilliant booking idea after you promote an unadvertised appearance by CM Punk, which you pay $15,000 for? Then what do you do with him?
Again, it's the media attention, the buzz from this. The fact that this guy was his WWE promoter, showed up to work this Ring of Honor event, and you use that to promote the brand. You say, look, Ring of Honor is such a great promotion. It's this promotion that has all these exciting talents. You know, look at the guys that we have in the main event of this show. And I don't know what our main event is on this theoretical show. You know, you have these guys on the show, and CM Punk, this guy that is such a gigantic star, he walked away from millions of dollars in the biggest stage to come work for Ring of Honor. That's how much he thinks of Ring of Honor. You should be a fan of Ring of Honor, too.
And so how the fuck is that any different?
Aside from $1,000, it's a drop in the bucket.
Aside from losing your ass,
The more I think, I mean, you're acting like I'm preposterous. I think you're being preposterous.
How is that
how
any
would you
different?
Not bring in CM Punk for $15,000.
How is that any
that,
different?
One of the biggest stars or the biggest promotion in the world, and he's coming back to work your promotion when he quit WWE. He quit working WrestleMania with Triple H to come headline
Listen,
in Chicago.
Geek.
In front
how
of
how is it any different than if ROH creates a video for their 15th anniversary show or whatever the show is in June, and keep in mind it's February, and CM Punk wouldn't be available in June, but let's just pretend that CM Punk is going to be available in June. What the hell is the difference between putting out videos and sending out all your press and everything that includes all you have to do, Todd, is have a video, and all you see is all of the ROH fans chanting CM Punk's name. And then in the background, it says 15th anniversary show or whatever, June, whatever, 2014. That's all anybody will talk about for 5 months or whatever. You sell tickets to the event and actually make some money off it. Everything that you said, Todd, happens exactly the same, except you're not blowing $15,000 fucking dollars by making it an unannounced surprise.
Wait, so is your story that CM Punk showing up under this scenario?
Yes!
Well, Brian, I was never saying that the choice is between you advertise CM Punk or you don't advertise CM Punk. Obviously, it would be better to ask CM Punk. The hypothetical was whether if CM Punk stipulated he did not want to be advertised, whether you would still be worth that
Why
money.
The fuck would he want to do that? Number one.
Because he doesn't want to be mobbed by a bunch of different people. He doesn't want to have a billion people out there talking about this whole thing. He just wants to show up and work a match for fun.
So he's
again,
never going to come back. He's never going to come back.
The question was whether it would be a good idea for ROH or not. Like that was the hypothetical. Whether, you know, what is his mindset going into this, or whether, you know, it would be better to advertise. And these are completely irrelevant tangents to the question that was asked.
Todd.
You're changing the subject.
Todd, we're running a fucking business here, not a charity. ROH is not a 501c3. It's a business. So advertise
again,
this guy.
It'll be better for, again, you're turning this into a completely different discussion. Of course, it would be better to advertise him. The question
for Christ's sake, I'm sure if I had $15,000, Punk would do this radio show. I'm not going to pay him $15,000 to do this show.
I don't think you would get anywhere near the buzz for CM Punk doing a radio show versus showing up.
Yeah, you're goddamn right I wouldn't. You're right. You know what, though, Todd? Let me tell you a fact. Okay, let me tell you an F-A-C-K-T.
People are staring at me now.
You deserve it because you're like an animal in the zoo. Let me tell you a fact, Todd. If next week, completely out of the blue, CM Punk randomly and unannounced shows up on Figure Four Daily for a great interview, yeah, I may get some buzz and people may be really excited. But you want to know what? If I advertise for 2 weeks that CM Punk is going to be on this show, our subscriber
numbers
will go sky high.
I never said that it's not good to advertise. Of course it's good to advertise. That has nothing to do with what the subject was. You completely changed the subject. I'm not going to discuss.
All right, fine. From my perspective.
That you've created to try to distract from what the original discussion
was. If CM Punk says, hey, Brian, I will do an interview on your show, but you can't advertise it in advance, and you need to pay me. I'll even go low since it's our show and not ROH. But you have to pay me $5,000. You know what I say in a really polite way? Fuck off. But I say in a really polite way, Todd.
It wouldn't be worth it for you. And you've got
you're
got
right.
To look at
it wouldn't
context.
Be. Nor would it be worth it for Ring of Honor.
It absolutely would be. You've got to look at the context. Same thing with Mike Tyson. It would not be worth paying, you know, Mike Tyson $3.5 million to work in TNA. Because they couldn't capitalize on the value Mike Tyson could potentially bring. It was worth it for WWE because of what they could
You're right. If I were Vince McMahon.
You get a lot more value out of him showing up to do a match than you can out of having him do a radio interview.
If Mike Tyson in 1998 or whatever had come to me and said, "Hey, Brian, I will do a 3-month storyline."
That wasn't a very good Mike Tyson impersonation.
I'll do a 3-month storyline
here.
I'll do a 3-month storyline here.
I don't want to fight Lennox Lewis again, Brian. I want to do your show.
I'll give you television. I'll do angles. And I will do a guest ref appearance at WrestleMania in your main event. And I want $5 million. I'd go, fuck, we're on fire. Yeah, you know what? Let's do it. If Mike Tyson came to me and he said, "Brian, I will appear at WrestleMania."
Again, a very bad Mike Tyson impersonation.
"I will appear at WrestleMania in your main event, but you're not allowed to advertise me, and I still want the $5 million. And then you, as my underling, are coming to me going, "Dude, we're going to get so much press on SportsCenter after this. Everybody's going to be talking about WWE. It's worth the $5 million. I go, Todd,
let me clear you on something.
You are
being, not in fact argue.
What's the word when you're like Mike relocated to another division? You'd be relocated to another division, Todd. I don't even know what that division would be, but I'd make one up just for you. The MMA division of WWE, a very lucrative and an important division in the company.
You forced me to do a show with that douchebag.
What? Who are you talking about?
Oh, I think you forget who I'm talking about. Yeah, but in terms of the Mike Tyson thing, of course, with $5 million, you're going to want to have advertising. But we're talking about $15,000. That was hypothetical.
Yeah, we're talking WWE versus ROH. Completely different levels of income and revenue.
Agreed. And we're talking about $15,000.
Why don't you pay the fucking $15,000, Todd? Money. If it's just a drop in the hat, why don't you write a check for $15,000 and make it out to ROH, and then they can bring in CM Punk for your fantasy scenario. And the only one who loses their ass is you.
CM Punk would in fact do this in the first place.
The only one who loses their ass is you, Todd. And then someday you can look back and go, "Yeah, you see that angle there that was so cool? Yeah, I paid for that." You know what they call people like you, Todd? Money marks. Todd Money Markin. It's going to be your new name. All right, everybody. Let's get some plugs in here.
Yeah, working on a few things, but nothing I think to plug right now. So just you can follow me on Twitter at Todd Martin MMA.
Wow. At least it was short and sweet. At Todd Martin MMA, everybody. And the hashtag here.
Hey, before we go, one other point. Completely unrelated to anything we're talking about. But I was just thinking about this the other day. And it relates to the CM Punk thing and the reactions, because you know they've been getting sort of the crowds shitting on stuff recently, and really the problem goes back to the Cena reactions, and that the Cena reaction sort of masked some larger issues, and that people would, you know, there was a group of people that would boo and hate on John Cena headlining, and I think the fundamental thing was just that they wanted a different direction on top than John Cena as a top babyface. But John Cena had his supporters, you know, his very vehement supporters, particularly children and women. And so when those people would shit on John Cena, the other people would stand up for John Cena. And so then WWE could, you know, say, "Oh, we've got these fun mixed reactions. Everyone's reacting big to John Cena." And they turned it into an idea that their top angle was hot with everyone, as opposed to hot with a certain segment of the population. Hold on. Ma'am, was that yours? Okay, sorry. A certain segment of the population, I lost my train of thought.
Goddamn woman.
Well, there's
She's hijacked the show, Todd. She hijacked this show like all those fans are hijacking Raw.
It was a dropped glove. I couldn't let it go lost.
Man.
So they had this perception that like everything was hot, as opposed to you had a segment of people that were really into Cena, and a segment of people that were really frustrated with the way things were going. And now you've got the same people voicing their frustration with the product and the way it's going, but you don't have John Cena on top, so there's no one to counter those people. And so you've got these people, you know, really unhappy with, you know, the Randy Orton stuff, and you know, the Big Show and Triple H and the top picture, because it's the same old people and they aren't particularly compelled with it, and they don't have anyone there that there's a significant group of people that want to stand up for them. So I think it's sort of a, you know, I think it's carried through from the reactions they had to John Cena, and I think that's part of the reason of the problem now.
All right, well, with that said, everybody, at Todd Martin MMA is the Twitter handle if you want to follow him there for more enlightening conversation. Todd responds.
Brian, you said that half facetiously.
No, Todd responds to every Twitter question with a personally written postal mail response. So make sure you include your address, and he'll make sure to get back to you. And he'll be back every other week. No, he's every week. I'm just being bombarded.
You've forgotten our schedule. Way to go, Brian.
I've been bombarded here with tweets about what a crazy man you are. So
I have my doubts about this claim.
Yeah. It's true. Oh, somebody made a special request, so I will do this as we go off the air, Todd. But again, I want to thank you very much for the show, as always. And we shall be back later on tonight, midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern, live with the Brian and Vinny Show. And as always, if you missed any of this show or any of our shows, they're available within 5 minutes on the front page for subscribers for your download, as well as every show we've ever done dating back to 2005. So you'll never miss out on a show if you subscribe. So head up there and check that out. So anyway, we are out of here, everybody. Thanks for listening. We shall talk to you again very soon. Oh, man, I screwed up my own drop. Hold on, Todd. There we go. Talk to you later, everybody.